as the Lord may be pleased to help me, we would direct you prayerfully to Psalm 33, reading verses 18 and 19. Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. What a solemn thing it is to read here, as we quoted in prayer, that the Lord looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. We may think that we can do things after our own understanding and in our own way, as it were, to have our own free will in doing what our mind dictates to us to do. But all to solemnly realize that the eye of God runneth to and fro the whole earth. It really did me good this morning to see that boot fair cancelled, all the advertising and all the preparation, and God stops it. God stops it, not man. And oh, we would realize by it that the eye of God looketh upon me. He knows and understands in his infinite wisdom the ways of man. He witnesseth all their sins, all their self-will and determination to desecrate God's day, have no thoughts of God, but all the solemn realization, eternity. Eternity before us each. And shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? You see here again in this psalm, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. Their counsels were to have a boot fair. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. You young people, remember God's word. His counsel standeth forever. And we would realize too the solemnity of God, that he demands perfect obedience to his holy law. But what a blessed hymn you sung. Oh, how it reveals to us what we are in the sight of God. And as the Lord so opens the eyes of your understanding, convinces you of your sin, to see that there's naught concealed, God seest your inward frame. He knowest your mocking of him, your despising of him, your rejections of him. And we all come under that category. Despising God, denying his truth, until through mercy the Lord saw fit to quicken some of us into life by his Spirit. And this is the desire, I am sure, of God-fearing parents for their offspring, and in some cases their offspring's offspring, to see the mighty hand of God touching that heart and this heart, to make them to see that the Lord sees you and me, and to thee I always stand revealed exactly as I am. And what have you and I to glory in or boast of when we realize this great and this mighty God looks upon you and me as a vile sinner? And Job was taught it. Behold, I am vile. You know, men don't want to know they're sinners. But a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. And so what a mercy that the Lord does reign. Behold, look and see, by the eye of faith. Look and see, dear friends, this cancelled boot fair. I don't want to keep dwelling on it, but it seemed to strike me so clearly this morning. All the advertising, and you have residents here and have seen it, the advertising of this thing. You see, man proposes, but God disposes. The lot is cast into the lap of God, of all things. You say, then why does he permit this to go on. The devil, dear friends, is having his fling, but his day will come. And oh, what a mercy if the Lord has so quickened your soul and mine, exercised you with these things, that you seek the counsel of the Lord in your affairs. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. May he teach you and me more and more to fear God, to remember that thou, God, seest me, seest you and me exactly as we are. What is the thought and intention of your heart and mine this morning? If you truly fear God, it will become up to honor God and come up with a desire to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, granting you his blessing, his presence, and his favor. Because, like the psalmist here, as he teaches you his fear, so your hope in his mercy. God has no, in any way, he is not, as it were, to save you and me. It isn't that he should save you and me, because we have sinned and come short of his glory. So we need the Lord in his sovereign mercy, do we not, to show pity upon us. But first the Lord must work in giving you and me that spirit of grace, to bring you and me as a regenerated sinner to true repentance. See, the Lord has promised unto you that fear my name. That is not a slavish fear of the papists, or that slavish fear of them, you know. Why, we've lived with them in service life. We've lived with the Catholics. They've been good colleagues to us. They've been honest with us. And we have got on with them in our responsibilities in our service life. You may have done in business. But you see, when it comes to the Lord's day, we have to go different ways. You see, they, through slavish fear, must go up to have their sins forgiven, as they think. They must go up and celebrate Mass. Otherwise, they will be excommunicated from the church. And it's the fear of man, not the fear of God. What is the fear of God? It is the desire in the soul of this newborn child of God to do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. And in our walk and in our conduct, there'll be an exercise with us. Lord, don't leave me to do anything contrary to thy will. We have to realize daily we are sinners. We seek that grace that we might be separated from the world. Wherefore he says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So you see, men will be made to stand in awe of God. And as a repentant sinner, you will stand in awe of him, and you'll see grace to walk in his fear. And I believe you'll pray daily. Lord, teach me. Teach me, O God, what I'm ignorant of, thy will. Teach me to know and do thy will. Lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Don't leave me to be swallowed up with temple things. I know they take your attention. It's a day where there is much of the spirit of the world, as much spirit of corruption. It's the spirit of the world, isn't it? And there be made great pressures put upon those that are left in employment. But you know, still there is this voice of the Lord. And as he teaches you and me, that his counsel standeth forever. So there be a continual committing thy way unto the Lord, trusting also in him, waiting upon him for that renewed strength, grace to endure the hardness, the opposition that you and I may meet in the world. But the eye of the Lord, oh, he knows the way. Being brought then, as it will be experimentally, even in your trials in the world, it'll be being brought experimentally into that fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. Why, they despised him, they rejected him. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Are you? Oh, do you consider then? Do you consider in your trying circumstances and scenes of life that you're being brought into fellowship with Christ? And so, as you're taught there, so you plead with the Lord. Lord, do grant me that grace to hope in thy mercy. He is that God of providence, the God of all grace, and he will be inquired of by his dear people to teach them his fear. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Looking upon your heart and mind, how is your heart and mind before God? Have we come up with a burden? Come up with a desire that we might hear his voice, receive a token of his love? Jesus alone then knows the way that you and I take. The trial of faith, the casting down of your poor fearful heart, that fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, what a mercy to have that wise and understanding heart to understand the will of the Lord before us. Now the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. See, the Lord's dear people will feel often to feel that death upon their spirit. They seem to grope for the wall like the blind. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul refreshing view of Jesus Christ, my Lord? Some will experience this, some of you have never had it, may not understand, but you will understand. If the Lord so blesses you with a glimpse by faith of himself, where he shows you these signs and these wonders, and I've illustrated one this morning in temporal things, God's almighty hand, he'll give you faith to believe it. Faith to believe it. And so he is able to deliver souls from death. You grope for the wall like the blind, you're in darkness. There's death upon God's word as you read it. There's death, there's a deathliness of silence from God. Oh, what darkness seems to envelop your poor soul. And oh, what a pathway of trial it is to you. Lord, do speak. Oh, that I might hear thy voice. Oh, that I might know something of thy loving kindness in the morning. You acknowledge God, you believe in God, you trust in God. But oh, my soul is in such darkness and in such bondage. But the eye of the Lord is upon you to deliver. To deliver. Set time and appointed time to deliver your soul from death and to keep you alive in famine. There's a famine it speaks of, doesn't it? In the minor prophet, in Amos, is it? That there shall be a famine of the hearing of the word of God. Well, we are still favoured in this land, aren't we? With many causes of truth that are faithful to the narrow way, to the old paths. And there are also living ministers too. Oh, there's a famine still of the hearing of the word. A famine in Australia of the hearing of the word with their friend laid aside. What a favour, a privilege it is then to be enabled to hear a living ministry. Let's trust one's own ministry is of the Spirit. And it may not be that you receive as you would, but what a mercy. We are still not absolutely barren. You know, even this, the Lord will keep them alive in famine. Keep them alive in famine. As I may have said before, dear Mrs. Hoadley down at the home has suffered this acute deafness for many years. And in it the Lord promised she should not starve. Should not starve. He has kept her soul alive in famine. What a favour. And others too have had to prove it. And so we would bless God. We know that the gospel is the means that the Lord uses. The good news of salvation to sinners who are in darkness and in bondage. Why? Because the Lord looks upon your heart and mind. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth we are but dust. But the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. He knows your thoughts, the intents of your heart. And what a wonderful thing is the mind. And it's God's gift to man. When the Lord gives you that ability, an exercise of soul, you may be intent on the things that you're attending to, and still these doctrines float into the mind and cause you to meditate upon them and the fear of the Lord. And there's that hope in his mercy. And you look to him in your difficulties you encounter in your callings. You may be in a company of people, as we have said before, and yet your thoughts are heavenward. Your thoughts are with what you're attending to amongst that company. But there's also that thought that quickly goes upward to heaven for the Lord's help and for his eye that looks upon these hearts of men can surround you and maybe being difficult with you. This God that is mindful of you, his eye is upon you and upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death. Or you feel sometimes that the world is crucifying you. Well, this is a privilege, really, if we're given grace to bear it, separated from the world that lieth in wickedness, and through mercy, hoping in God's mercy, hoping against hope that you are a chosen vessel, and the Lord will make that crooked thing straight for you, that rough place plain, and the darkness lie before you. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. What an eye it is. An all-seeing, all-searching eye. And so with the psalmist language, your prayer will be, search me, O God, and know my heart. This is the exercise and prayer of a living soul, though feeling to be dead, feeling to be in barrenness of soul. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me the way everlasting. This then will be the prayer of the righteous man that fears God. You need the righteousness of Christ. You need the divine direction and help of God to guide you by his counsel. So the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Not the counsel of the heathen. He brings it to naught. So we would bless God that his eye is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death. To awaken you from that dead spirit of that carnal mind which is an enmity to God. Creating you a clean heart, renew a right spirit within you. That is exercised unto godliness, and the desires to walk in his fear, and to do all those things that are right in his sight. It'll exercise you and me with many things concerning the way we take in that God-honoring walk. Lord, teach me what I feel to be ignorant of, and that is my steps might be ordered clearly and plainly by thee. That I'm not left to bring shame or reproach upon the name of Christ, but to walk worthy of him, to do all things decently and in order in the fear of God. Behold the eye. Oh, what an all-seeing eye it is. And oh, what does the Lord see in you and me as we've sung this morning? What does he see? Nothing but sin. And you know, men speak lightly of sin, don't they? Men of the world and women of the world, they live in sin and they acknowledge it in the flesh, in the letter, in the word. But oh, if they are truly convinced of the Lord, oh, they would mourn over their sins. Oh, and there are those that have much cause of anguish of soul because of their past sins. And they oppress them at times to think that the Lord has seen them, witnessed, is a witness of their sinful lives. And yet by the grace of God, they have been one of God's chosen vessels. In their unregeneracy, they have to realize that their hearts were fashioned alike, and he considered all their works. You know, if we fear God, we've nothing to glory of, in or boast of. Because it is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed in our unregeneracy. But then I think I quoted recently, Jesus sought me. He has sought of them that sought him not. Oh, I say, what a wonderful privilege and favour this is, that God should choose you and me before the foundation of the world. Before you were fashioned like man, God chose you. All the infinite wisdom of God in it. What a vital, needful thing it is that you and I know it and feel it and are affected by it as one that fears God, as one that desires to walk in his ways, and one that desires and pleads for that blood of Christ. You know, you'll give him no rest under conviction until the Lord so favours you to know something of this new heart given you. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. What a word. What a word, friends. And I thought this morning as we were singing these hymns, you know, what a blessed experience these hymn writers had. Oh, may that religion be yours and be mine. Real things. I feel today our religion is lukewarm. The Lord needs, well, we feel the lead, we need the Lord to stir us up, to make us conscious of the eye of the Lord upon us, in our walk and in our conduct, and give us more grace to humble ourselves before Almighty God, that we might be exalted in due time, casting all our care upon him. So the care of your soul, when you feel such a deathly hush from God, silent, he's so silent unto you. Lord, be not silent unto me. Or is it your plea? Well, there is a sign of spiritual life, you know, in a sinner that's pleading that prayer. It's not comforting to your soul, is it, to be in this famine-like, death-like condition? But the Lord has so exercised you with a desire. Be not silent. Lord, for if thou should mark my iniquities, don't point the finger at another. If the Lord should mark your iniquities and my iniquity, who amongst us could stand before an all-seeing, heart-searching God? And we'll all be brought there one day to the judgment seat of Christ. Shall we have the imputed righteousness of Christ? Shall we have all our sins blotted as a thick cloud? Is the Lord then weaning you and me from the world? Is he breaking up the fallow ground of your heart to sow this seed of the incorruptible word of life? The Lord will so bless and, I believe, favour his people with this real repentance. Your religion and mine is not merely a formality, but a real exercise in our soul to walk in his fear. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. So this Almighty God, wasn't it Suki Harley that trembled at the thought of God's judgments and the eye of the Lord was upon an ignorant woman? Yes. But the Lord had given her an exercise, and she only knew of God. She didn't know about his son. The Lord taught her. The Lord made her realize her need of the Lord Jesus Christ and that blood to pardon all her sins. She didn't want the world watching her, did she? But she wanted to shut herself in her closet. You know, the value of wrestling prayer, closet prayer. Oh, we cannot emphasize it enough. This real closet prayer, whereby where you go into your closet and shut the door and cry unto your Father in heaven, Lord, do grant me, as thine eye is upon me, that I don't come before thee with a false repentance or a mock humility, but I come with that broken heart and contrition of spirit, pleading thy mercy, pleading forgiveness, pleading to lift up my soul out of the depths. When your soul and heart is overwhelmed, you want the Lord to lift up the light of his countenance upon you, to shine into your darkened soul, to bring your soul out of prison that you might truly praise him. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. He knows your frame. He knows where your desires are this day. What a mercy that you're looking to him, pleading the Lord Jesus Christ would show you a token of that love. You hope in his mercy to deliver your soul from death, deliver your soul from the pit, deliver your soul from darkness and in bondage through fear of death, deliver your soul from those afflictions, deliver your soul from that darkness, and deliver your soul from those present circumstances that seem to ensnare you at times. Lord, do loose me and let me go. Set me at liberty of the gospel. May Christ be made precious, and may I be favored to receive that exceeding great and precious promise that my sins have been pardoned. Now, as I said earlier, in our day, sin is so little thought of, so little known and understood. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. We may confess sin with our lips, but is our heart? Does the word we speak go with the wishes of our heart? Have we those real wishes in our heart, those real desires in our heart for pardon? But all to feel then, to feel you're a sinner in the pure and holy eyes of God, to feel you're a sinner, a vile wretch. You know, when you're brought there, to feel that, the vileness of your heart, it'll cut deep beyond expression, but it'll cause you to shed a tear. It'll cause you to cry unto the Lord and before his face, and you'll come with weeping. You see, the psalmist speaks earlier in the 30th, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favour is life, weeping may endure for a night. When you feel the anger of God for sin, are you fed up with hearing about sin? No, then there's not much life in your soul, is there? When the Lord makes you and me to smart for our sin, and when something goes awry in your life, you say, that's my sins, Lord. My sins have caused that. You may arise in anger yourself when things, your passions arise, when something goes awry. Well, soon we can lose patience, come, but you know the anger of God, His chastening hand upon you may cause you to be exceedingly sorrowful. And if it's sanctified, you see, it'll cause you to weep. You've offended your God. You've done those things that are not right in His sight. There's no soundness in your flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death? Our body of death has death upon it. We shall be laid in the grave incorruption. Through mercy we shall be raised incorrupt by the imputed robe of Christ's righteousness. Oh, what a great work it is. This miracle performing God that makes sinners wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. Behold, look and see. Look and see. Search the scriptures that testify of Christ. Look and see the wonders of redeeming love. Look and see how great and mighty is Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. And that's the purpose that He came. You know, those out in the world, they don't want to know anything about Jesus Christ. He's of no value to them, is He? Because they know nothing of their sinnership. But all His precious blood will be invaluable to you and me as a sinner, called by grace. Nothing else will satisfy, but give me Christ or else I die, will be the begging of your never-dying soul. Oh yes, I know, you might say to me, there's some nice people out there, kind people. Yes, yes, I will readily acknowledge it, that we have been favoured in our own lives to have the helps of these men of the world. That doesn't alter the fact, dear friends, that Jesus Christ means nothing to them. It meant nothing to some of us at one occasion until He sought you out, until He found you in the waste howling wilderness and the world became a wilderness to you and you desire to come into His courts to deliver your soul from death. See, the wicked know not God. And God is angry with the wicked every day. He was angry with your sinfulness. He's angry with our sinfulness. Blessed be His holy name. There is an antidote for this death. It is the blood of Christ. And so we shall look to Him. With weeping we should come, and with supplication, look to Him that we might be saved. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Wherever the gospel is preached in the world, there will be those sinners called by His grace, and it'll be from all nation and kindred and tongue that shall come and sit down with Him in heaven. Or are we amongst them then, vital and needful to know Him, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent? Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. Oh, what a mercy that He looks upon them in pity, and He guides them with His eye. Be not as the horse or the mule that have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. So says the word, lest they come near unto thee. But many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord mercy shall compass him about. Oh, what a favour to be able to speak a little of His mercies that are new every morning, His compassions that fail not. Great is His faithfulness. Now, where are you and I in these truths? Where are we? How does the case stand with you? How is it with you in this present evil world? This world that is full of sin and full of woe. Evil men waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Lord, remember, reigns. and it will be by signs and wonders that he so works mightily in the hearts of his dear family. And he'll make them to be as little children, to sit at his feet, to learn of him. And except ye become as a little child, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of heaven, we read, suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that will seek deliverance, that will seek to be kept alive in famine, in the famine of the hearing God's word. Oh, you feel sometimes, don't you, when will the Lord come and satisfy my longing soul? When will he show me a token? When will he show me that his hands and his feet and his side? It's by the IFA. It's not literally, you young friends, it's the IFA. It's faith as you read God's word and you're given faith to believe in the truth of it. You see, this is it, isn't it? The Word was made flesh, Jesus Christ. The Word, you know, is your meat and your drink indeed, for your never dying soul. Lord, then do grant my deliverance from death. Do open my blind eyes, do unstop my deaf ears, and keep my soul alive. You see, we all have a never dying soul. The body dies. The body is this house of clay that has this living soul within it. The Lord then breathed upon, and the Lord breathes upon his dear people now. And man became a living soul. And so you see, it's a never dying soul. And how we need the Lord to give us that faith to believe it. Faith is that trusting in God, believing in God, and accepting that God reigns. Oh, and the Lord alone in Jesus is the author of living faith. Oh, it embraces so much, does living faith, doesn't it? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, an evidence of things that are not seen. We have living evidences, don't we, of living faith? Evidences. Now it's the work of the Spirit, and great is the mystery of godliness. It's the work of the Spirit in your soul and mine to believe that the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. And you know they're given faith to wait. And you see, you'll never be ashamed. If you have faith to wait upon the Lord, they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Wait, I say, on the Lord, not on man. The Lord will use man as an instrument to feed your soul and to keep it alive, even though there's the famine. There's a famine of church members. There's a famine of God-fearing souls wrought upon and brought into Zion. There are many turned back. There are many left. God's causes are true. Having been trained up under the truth, they've forsaken the narrow way in the old paths. They want some more fleshly excitement. Fleshly excitement. What a mercy, dear friends, to be delivered. You know, it was a wonderful thing. I read in the Courier the deacon's letter from Cranbrook. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to write such things. And I hope that it might bear fruit. And say no more. Because you see, it is needful to make a stand against these false religions, these excitable, fleshly, so-called services of religion. they're dead, friends. They're dead. They're the works of the nature. They're the works of the flesh. They may excite the emotions of the flesh of man. There's no profit. It's when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth, friends. This is why there's a withholding of the Spirit. God's arm has gone out against us. Why? Examine ourselves. And you examine yourselves in prayer. That the Lord might have His eye upon you in mercy. The Lord will have His eye upon you in pity. And grant you real repentance and godly sorrow for your sin. That you might be made a real mourner. A real mourner in Zion. Over your sins and after Him. Now sin is a terrible thing. It's a breaking and a transgression of God's holy law, and He demands obedience to it. And all those that are not obedient to it are under the condemnation of the broken law. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be no hope for any that have been born into this world, or that you might feel more and more your need of the love and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be given grace to walk under that omniscient eye, and to feel that omnipotent God is your God, and your Saviour, and your Redeemer. Because Except unless you be born again, you and I will perish in our sins. There may be strong language we're saying, dear friends, but it's God's word that backs me up. And it's only His grace in my heart, if so be I possess it, that has changed my heart, renewed my will. I was as a great pleasure seeker, an entertainment seeker, as any man has ever been. But glory to God. And some of you can say, glory to God, you ne'er did rove beyond the limits of His love. Fence with Jehovah's shells and wheels, firm as the everlasting hills. Oh, what a favour then, that the eye of the Lord is still upon them that fear Him, not for anything in them. Not for anything in them, dear friends, that was of any value to God. But He sought them because He would. He bought them because He would. He chose them because He would. And blessed is such a man. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, the eye of the Lord. Oh, blessed favour. Bless God if you've got a good hope through grace, that He has quickened you into life. You may feel dead. You may feel to be a famine. There's a famine in hearing. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint in His strength. And so we look to the Lord in His sovereign mercy to strengthen the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees, to say unto them that have a fearful heart, fear not. Thy God will come with vengeance, with a recompense of reward. He will come and save you. Faith then is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things that are not seen. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. We will leave for the time, friends. May the Lord bless His own word. Forgive all amiss for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us conclude in singing hymn 757 to tune Wiltshire 268. great God, how deep thy counsels lie. Supreme in power art thou, all things to thy omniscient eye are one eternal now. Thy thoughts of peace to Israel's race from everlasting flowed, and when thou hidest thy lovely face, thou still art Israel's God. 757.
Fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.